Welcome to If These Walls Could Talk, a short podcast about your connections to the built environment of Denver. I'm Sam Pike, your host. There was a time when the only place you could get a cappuccino was at the market on Larimer Square. Really, I mean it.
I lived in the mountains when I first moved here, and I would love to go to the market and be on Larimer Square. You know, 30 years ago, it was the only place in Colorado to get a cappuccino.
Right.
Yeah.
It was the first one east of, like between the coasts, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So it was a really big deal. I would come down from Summit County and I'd say, I have to go to the market and I have to have a croissant and I have to have a cappuccino.
It might seem impossible now that nearly every street corner has a coffee shop, but let's take a step back in time with Colleen to the days when Folgers reigned supreme and cappuccinos were worth a road trip. To start things off, will you just introduce yourself to me?
I am Colleen Atoma Matthews.
Nice to meet you, Colleen. Thanks for visiting. You had kind of been on the fence about sharing a story, and I'm intrigued to hear what changed your mind.
Well, it was funny. I was thinking about things that I think about around architecture. I grew up with a father who was a general contractor and loved buildings and loved old architecture and new architecture. And so we talked about it all the time.
Oh, cool.
And when I was growing up, and I also grew up in the East Coast, so buildings are 200 years old and more. And so that's a normal thing there. But here,
anything over 100 years is old here.
Right. And like a thing that's so hard for me is that we have so little history in buildings here.
Right.
And we tear those buildings down.
Why do you think that that's a thing that we do? You know, like, why do we build something cool and then the next generation comes by and be like, nah, forget that?
I think that I believe that Americans are in love with the new and the innovative and the clean surface and the clean lines. And, you know, even in my neighborhood, I live in Platt Park, and sometimes people renovate bungalows, but they make them so sparkling new, and like there's no essence left of this old building that was there.
Like whatever patina was there is now gone.
It's all gone. Yeah. And so I just have a really difficult time with that. But it's something that we do. It's part of our culture, consumer culture.
Totally. And then if you want to sell a place that you've owned for a while, you know that you can make a bigger profit if you kind of adhere to that more slick definition of what's hot.
Yeah.
It's a weird cycle.
It is. And I know, like, we have this really beautiful 100-year-old bungalow on a corner. We have all this gorgeous light. Mm. The lot is a little bit bigger than the other lots, like, that are in the block. And we, my husband and I say, we'll sell this house and it will be gone in 6 months. It will be leveled like that. I wanted to live in that neighborhood because I like the architectural integrity. Mm-hmm. And now it's going. Like, it's not gone, but it's going. Like, you, streets like South Penn, there's these houses that are lot line to lot line, and they look like medical buildings. They're like, they have these stone facades, and they're very, I don't even call them modern. I don't even know what they are. They're like best use of space kind of places.
Right.
But they're not. And then next to it is this beautiful old house that you know is, if somebody sells that house, it's going to be gone.
Oh.
And we just don't have the zoning.
Right.
To protect those older houses.
So for folks listening, it sounds like you're issuing kind of a strong, like, care about who your city council people are.
Absolutely.
Get involved in what a zoning code is.
And absolutely.
Yeah. Do you have any suggestions on how best to advocate for saving spaces?
We're like grossly not paying attention to the disappearing homes and the disappearing lifestyle that used to be here there. And, you know, you guys were talking about the homeless population. What I watch is the elderly people who can't afford to live in their neighborhood anymore because of the taxes. And you can see their houses falling into ruin because they can't keep up with them. And people are preying on people like that rather than lifting them up. We're not paying attention to economic diversity in neighborhoods, and definitely not in this one.
Are you aware of any examples locally or nationally or globally where they've done a good job of being careful?
I like the idea of, like, in the Vail Valley and in Aspen, there's some like you can buy into these housing areas where there's a cap on how much you can make off of the house if you sell it.
Oh, okay.
And they, you know, it's like a
was
low
that intended
down
for like teachers and
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a 10% down, and they've capped how much the townhouses or the houses can, you know, sell for. I think that's a good idea, but then I also think if I were in that position, I know I would realize that I would be locked into buying real estate that I wasn't going to make any money off of, and I would like to benefit from that too.
Totally.
So how do you?
Yeah.
I think we're.
It's not helping solve that problem of the wealthier getting wealthier.
No, no. I also know that there's a lot of push towards people investing in affordable housing around the country. I'm skeptical about why people are investing in that. And what does that really mean? Is that lifting up people to have home ownership and have nice housing? Or is that, what's behind that?
These are super good questions.
Yeah, yeah. So to answer your question, I don't know.
Yeah.
I wish I knew.
From what I hear from you, it sounds like these questions are motivated out of a love for a space and a hope that people of diverse backgrounds can enjoy that space in the way that you've enjoyed it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel very fortunate to have lived in this area and to enjoy Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that other people want to move here and enjoy Colorado too. And I get it. But how do we figure out how to create, not turn into LA, not be a megalopolis, keep it somewhat sustainable.
Yeah.
But not keeping people out.
These are really good questions. Thanks for sharing.
Sure.
If These Walls Could Talk is brought to you by Denver Architecture Foundation and the Denver Public Library. Editing by Josh Wright and Erica Prather, our portable cardboard recording booth was designed and built by Extra Vitamins. The Blair Caldwell African American Research Library hosted us this year. If you have questions or comments, please reach out. You can contact us by emailing hello@denverarchitecture.org. And I'm Sam Pike, your host. Thank you for listening.